Hello and welcome to episode 24 of the Desi Outsiders podcast. This week's episode is very exciting for Minal and Ankita as they're interviewing their first guest of season two, me. I'm Isha Mulkani, a dance and choreographer based in London. I've got my own YouTube channel called Lasya Dance, where I do dance covers and tutorials. And yeah, that's a little bit about me. So let's jump straight into the show now.
You didn't say right into the show, but I'll forgive you for that.
Sorry, you know.
That's okay. I'm just kidding.
Okay, so I just want to start the show by telling our listeners a little bit about Minal and Isha's history. So Minal and Isha have known each other from the time they were practically kids. They pretty much grew up together. And Isha, I've heard that Isha used to dance from the time she was a very young kid. And Minal used to go over to her house and be her dancing partner, which is an interesting story.
I wasn't her dancing partner. She used to teach me.
I really want to get into that. I want to know how horrible Minal was as a dancer.
I have a great story coming up.
Right. So this was just a little bit so that people know that Minal and Isha have known each other and they grew up in Gibraltar together. But Isha, we are so happy to have you. Welcome to the show. And could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Very excited to be here with you both. So I'm like Minal. I'm from Gibraltar. I grew up there and then been dancing for a long time, probably since I was 13, 14, something like that.
Right.
And then, yeah, I came here for university to London and I've just stayed on, started working here. Now I'm based here. Dance has always been a massive passion of mine. I've been lucky and had the opportunity to learn Bharatanatyam, which is a big foundation for me for everything I do in dance. And I've learned that at the Bhavan under my guru, Prakash Yadagode. And yes, that's a big influence in my Bollywood dance as well. So, yeah, that's a little bit about me and my dance and my passion.
So, Isha, I'm going to start with the questions because I know where to start. But so, Isha, I knew you from a very young age, as Ankita mentioned. Now, there's not a big age gap, but there's a slight age gap between us. So when you started dancing, as you said, at the age of 13, I was still quite young. But what I do remember is you performing in, I'm not sure in which venues, but you were performing in some occasions and some events in the variety shows. And just for our listeners, the variety show is a show where the Hindu community in Gibraltar would get together and just to have a feeling of that we're, you know, all Desi people, and they just wanted to have a community of people just dancing and putting on a show for everyone. So Isha would always dance there and I would just sit there and watch her like a fat kid because I didn't know how to dance.
You were not fat.
Oh my God, Isha, I was fat.
No, you were.
Minal actually makes a lot of fat jokes about herself because she thinks she was a chubby kid growing up.
She really wasn't. I think it's in her head. She's making this up.
Thanks, Isha. Isha, I know that, I'm from Gibraltar as well, so I know that it's a tiny country. It's very small. And of course, we're not exposed to the Desi culture as much as maybe someone in the UK would be. And of course, anything that we do pick up, whether it's Bollywood or even the languages we speak at home, is usually from home, within home itself. So when you were in Gibraltar, what sparked your hobbies and what sparked your passion to start dancing, especially in Gibraltar? That's why I'm asking, because Gibraltar is so small.
Yeah. So I think, to be honest, the variety shows were obviously a big, big thing, like you said. They were just community shows, effectively, and they gave us an opportunity to perform and to kind of build that interest in Desi culture as such, mm-hmm. through the plays, through the dances and all of that. And to be honest, I also had seen there was a girl who had come from Malaga and she had done some Indian classical dancing. And mm-hmm. I remember clearly when I was 13 or 14, she had come to the temple and she mm-hmm. had done a performance. Mm-hmm. And that's when I first saw what Indian classical dance was. And mm-hmm. I just fell in love literally from that day onwards. I was like, wow, this is just beautiful. So that kind of sparked my interest in Indian classical dance. With Bollywood, I definitely say the variety shows had a big influence. And it was a lot of fun because it's the time where you get kind of do it with your friends and it's an after school activity uh-huh. and rehearsals and all of that. And then just one show after the other. And some of my very close friends also used to dance with me. So mm-hmm. I just used to love it. And that's kind of what sparked the interest initially.
Mm. Ankita, do you want to hear the funny story now?
Yep. I've been waiting for that. I was like, when can I ask about it?
I'm pretty sure you don't remember this because obviously at that age, you probably had a lot more important things going on in your life than me as a fan.
You're not a fat kid, if that's what you're going to say again.
Isha, do you remember Cornwall Lane? You remember where Chandan is, that road?
Yes.
So I remember, Ankita, there was one day my mom forced me to dance in this variety show, right?
Right.
And I really didn't want to do it. Okay. I was like, can I just go play basketball instead? Like, I really didn't want to do it. And my mom was like, no, Meenal, you should go. Isha's going to teach you and Isha's friends are going to be there. So I was like, okay, fine. And in the dance, Isha, I had to wear a lehenga. And
is that the same pink lehenga from forever?
So Isha, I was just telling Ankita a couple of days ago that at the age of 5, my mom bought me a pink lehenga, an oversized one, and I use it for like 7 years.
So, well, you got your money's worth at least. True, yeah.
So I was wearing that pink, exactly the same pink lehenga.
Oh wow!
And my mom made me go to rehearsals in that lehenga, and everyone else was in shorts and t-shirt.
Oh my god!
Standing on the road in my lehenga, like so scared.
Just wanted you to get comfortable so you don't trip over on the day.
I saw Isha coming around the corner. Yeah. And I'm like, oh shit, she's judging me.
And then if I were Isha, I would have just felt sorry for you.
No, but that's what Isha did. I actually remember Isha saying, like, Meenal, just come with me, we'll walk together. And then, yeah, so we were dancing at this, like, yoga center. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure Isha got quite angry with me when I couldn't get the moves right, but we'll leave that for another time.
I do not remember any of this, gosh. But you need to send me pictures of this pink thing later on. It might jog my memory.
So,
Isha, I want to ask you that, you know, there are so many components that go into what you do, like your dance. It's not just about, you know, choreography and dancing, which is what you're basically passionate about. But you also pick out these beautiful costumes and you record a video, you edit it, you upload it. And I understand that you're doing all this with a full-time job. So how do you manage it all? How do you find the time to do all of this?
Very good question. I'm not going to lie. It's tough. It's very, very tough. And I'm just trying to like juggle kind of, yeah, both my career and my passion. It's been difficult. And I feel like I'm slowly, slowly kind of trying to find a balance that I'm happy
Isha,
with.
Can you just tell our listeners what you do for a living?
Yeah.
Oh, I can, yeah. So I'm a chartered accountant and
You're a chartered accountant.
Yeah.
Oh my god, Isha, my respect for you is
description for shadi.com. That's how Isha got married.
You have no idea how much I respect you for doing both that and your, you know, beautiful dance YouTube channel that you have. Yeah, but like we were saying, how do you do it all?
I did struggle initially quite a bit with kind of like balancing everything, but I think it's all about, I guess, prioritizing and juggling, and dance is something I'm really, really passionate about, so I don't see it as a chore, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I've got my full-time job, and then weekends and evenings I basically choreograph the dances, and then I try and usually record on the weekends, and then during the week in the evenings I'll try and do my editing and try and upload and do the stuff on social media.
How often do you post on social media? It doesn't necessarily have to be a YouTube video, but do you just post an Instagram photo, you know, in case you're not uploading that week? How do you manage your social media?
Yeah, so social media, actually, like before I even got into this, I never would have thought like there was so much like time thought that goes into social media. But I try and post at least once or twice a week. just to have obviously a presence there, and it gives an opportunity for my followers to ask questions or just kind of like let me know what songs they want to see next and stuff. I like having that interaction with them. I try and post twice a week at least.
You just mentioned that you interact with your fans on social media, and obviously Ankita and I do that on a daily basis. Just kidding.
We have one fan, and I'm your fan, you're my fan.
I'm your fan.
Thanks, Isha.
So now we have a new fan.
But what I wanted to ask you is that, Isha, because I did some stalking obviously before we had this interview, I noticed that there are some followers from really random places like Uzbekistan, if I'm not mistaken, or any of these random countries, and they actually make a video of your choreography and send it to you. And how does that make you feel to see someone produce your own work and someone who's not even, most of the time at least, not exactly Indian or Desi?
Yeah, it's incredible. I can't even explain the feeling. Like when I get these videos, especially from, like you said, from other countries which are not India, it just makes you feel like, wow, like I can't believe I've even reached out to these people. And I think this kind of then links into why I started it, because growing up in Gibraltar, I've always, like I said, had an interest in Indian dancing, but I never had any classes I could go to. I didn't have a teacher. Everything I've done in Bollywood is pretty much self-taught. And I would have loved as a kid to have a dance teacher to go to, and I never had that. And that's the reason I started off YouTube, because I found it was an opportunity for me to reach out to people in all parts of the world, and whether they have access to an Indian dance class or not, they can learn something from me. And as I've been seeing that happen, like with people sending me their videos, I just feel like, wow, like if I had YouTube 10 years ago, 15 years ago, like I could have done this. And it's just amazing that these people, they've been able to
do it. You didn't have YouTube at your age, so you just had to learn from watching, I guess, movies or
off the top of my head was a lot of it, because I had this rule as well when I was a teenager. I was like, I'm not going to copy anything from the movie. I'm allowed to get inspired. But I was like, I need to force myself to think.
That's amazing. That's amazing that you, even as a child, you actually thought of that.
You were a smart child.
And I had one of my very, very good friends of mine who also was my neighbor at the time. We used to spend hours and hours in each other's houses. Pinky and Reshma used to also dance with us, but it was mainly Lovey.
Oh yeah, yeah, of course.
So me and her used to do like a lot of dancing together, and we basically just grew up teaching each other and learning from each other. So it was amazing, and that's basically how we kind of learned. And now that I'm able to spread what I know with other people, it's just amazing. And when I see those videos, like honestly, it's just incredible seeing.
It's very, you know, like to see people like you and other YouTubers on social media and spreading a good message is also one reason why Ankita and I started as well. You know, seeing you and all the other dancers and YouTubers who are spreading a good and positive message, you've inspired a lot of people, Isha, and you should be really proud of yourself. Like, Isha, I don't know if this is a weird question, but I've noticed that when you do your, so obviously I watched you perform Bharatnatyam in Gibraltar, and the most interesting aspect of Bharatnatyam is the expressions that you have while you're dancing, right? As a person, are you that expressive as well? Like if you're shocked, do you really like make that face?
So it's really funny you asked me that, because just to on Thursday at work, someone was like, my manager at work, he's like, Isha, you move your head a lot when you
That's a very Indian thing.
And he was like, yeah, your head and your hands, you're very animated. And I was like, Yes, this is probably because I dance outside of
That's the Bollywood influence.
I am. It's just kind of built in. It's in my blood. I move my head. I move my hands. I don't.
Yeah, okay.
And Isha, I was watching one of your videos recently and I noticed that some you probably shoot in your own home, but there was this other video that I saw where you were shooting in a studio. And is that like a dance studio? Is that a yoga studio or a gym? Because I wanted to know, in case there's someone else who's aspiring to become like a dance choreography YouTuber like you, do you rent out that space, or how do you get to, you know, perform in an isolated space like that?
So most of my videos actually up until recently were just filmed at my house. I've got a gym. I'm part of a gym just right next to my house, and luckily they just allow me to use their studio, so I don't actually pay for it or anything.
But
a lot of the stuff I initially started was definitely at home. And if you've got a space at home, like, you can use that. Like, you can have a dance studio wherever you
My bathroom's my dance studio, my shower.
Exactly. You need to start somewhere, right? So.
I wanted to ask you, what made you pick up a camera and record yourself for your first YouTube video?
My husband.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I think I had a video actually I performed at my wedding. I did a surprise dance for my husband, Orebia, which is on my YouTube channel as well.
I've seen that one.
And so I was like literally hesitating so much. I was like, I think some, I can't even remember who suggested it, like, oh, you should put it up. And I was like, no, who's going to watch me? Like, what's the deal? It's just a dance. Like, no one's going to watch me. And then I got the video from the videographer, and then my husband was like, upload it. And I was like, fine, okay, I'll just create a channel and I'll upload it. But I don't think much is going to happen anyway. So I kind of put that up, and then it had a few views and all of that. And then 3 or 4 months later, my husband was like, why don't you do tutorials or something? Like, people do tutorials and beauty and this, that, the other. Like, why don't you do something with dance? And I was like, why is anyone going to want to learn from me and this, that, and that? And then he's like, oh, look, do it. You're not going to lose anything from it, isn't it? Just try one and see how it goes. So I tried it, and honestly, it was the most nerve-wracking thing I have ever done.
Well, actually, Isha, it's interesting because you and Ankita literally have the same story. Except for Ankita,
pretty much.
Ankita did it on her blog, and you're doing it on YouTube. Whereas me, when Ankita was like, do you want to do a podcast? I'm like, yeah, sure, let's go. Had my microphone. Yeah.
You didn't even hesitate. Nino did not even think for a second before saying, yes, I'm going to do this.
That's amazing, though, to have that confidence. Like, I think initially, like, you know, my first video took me, I had to record it twice because I was speaking so softly. I'm like, hello. I loaded it onto iMovie and I couldn't hear anything, and I was like, okay, I need to do this again. So yeah, but I think it's definitely helped me. Like, one big thing that has happened for me from YouTube, like, I was never able to do presentations or like even public speaking because I was so scared of speaking in public. And now, because of YouTube and because I've been doing that, it's built my confidence so, so much. Even at work, it's helped me. And
it's all about getting out of your comfort zone, isn't it?
Exactly.
It doesn't have to be with a dance video on YouTube. It's just everything in life. If you just take that step, then everything starts to get easier. And Isha, I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned that you started off this YouTube channel through your husband's push, and he prompted you to do all of this. So when you started, I'm sure you didn't have an idea of branding yourself, or, you know, I'm pretty sure you just said, okay, I'll put myself out there and we'll see what happens. But now that you've come quite far in your YouTube channel, have you started focusing on your branding as a dancer, or do you still just do it as a hobby and just go with the flow?
It's definitely still a hobby, and I'm still kind of just doing as much as I can on there. But I have obviously started thinking about more kind of like long term and what I want to do about my branding and all of that. So at the moment, I've not got like exactly what I want to do. I'm just kind of seeing where it's going to take me. And for me, like my last year, I don't know if you guys know what that means. Do you know what it means?
It's a dance that I think Parvati performed, right?
Yeah, good. Yes.
I did my research, Isha.
So good. So
I think Ankita was just waiting for me to answer.
No, I was like, I wanted to ask you that question.
So basically what it means is, it's described to you Goddess Parvati's dance, and it's basically kind of, so when Lord Shiva dances, it's called Tandava, and then when she dances, it's called Lasya, and it's basically the feminine grace side of it. So I think, a lot of my dancing, obviously, my foundation is Bharatanatyam, and I still go to my classes, and I hope to continue to do that. And I mean, all my feature choreography and stuff, a lot of it will be influenced from there. Mm. So, I mean, I've not got an exact idea of what I want to do, but there will always be a classical influence in whatever I do.
Oh, okay.
So because you do so much Bollywood, I just wanted to ask, who is your favorite dancer from Bollywood?
Okay, favorite dancer is definitely Madhuri.
Ah, oh my God, me too, Isha. Yeah. Even though I don't know how to dance, but I still love her.
Yeah, my mom is such a big Madhuri fan.
She's incredible. Yeah. Literally, like her expressions and everything is just on point.
Can I ask, Isha, what's your favorite dance by Madhuri?
Oh, gosh. I don't even think I've got a favorite. I just love just watching her and all her songs. I love... Ghaghra as well.
Oh my God, I was going to say Ghaghra, but then I was like,
such a good
Isha,
one.
Isha, you'd be proud of me. I actually danced to that song 2 years ago at university.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing. Oh, wow.
Does anyone have a video of that?
Were you wearing the pink lehenga?
Oh, I was wearing a red one. It was quite similar to the one I had 20 years ago.
I can't wait to get my hands on the video of that song if someone took a video of you dancing.
No, actually, we did Ghaghra, and so it was a performance of three songs, and the first one was Chitti Ankalaya, and the second one was Yaar Na Mile. And you know, Yaar Na Mile is quite like a sexy sort of dance, and I was so uncomfortable. And I was like, don't show my mommy that I'm doing this. But you know, when I was done doing that song, I actually slipped.
And then
straight after we had to do the Ghaghra dance. But I really enjoyed it. I just loved just performing on stage, even though I was really bad. But I think that when you're dancing, it just, at least for me,
it's just fun.
Yeah, and it just puts you in a different like state of mind completely.
Definitely.
Isha, I trained in Bharatanatyam when I was younger. But I had an Arangetam when I was in the 7th grade. I was like 12 or 13 years old. I had a professional proper Arangetam. But the sad thing is, when I was like 13, 14 years old, I decided, oh my God, I have so much to study. I'm not going to dance anymore. And I stopped it. And I feel so terrible about it because I don't remember most of my steps, although I would like to get back into it. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, it's never too late. I think if you've got a class or a teacher anywhere near you,
It would be fun.
You should definitely just join back in. If it's something you want to do, it's never too late to dance.
Because I started at the age of around 8, and I danced for pretty much 5 or 6 years of my life. And I feel that the foundation it gave me was so incredible that I should probably go revisit that.
Yeah, and you'll be surprised as well, like when you go back into a class, how much you remember.
Yeah.
So... definitely try it out.
So
and then come to London and you can dance with me and we can do something together.
I want to be there when that happens. I'm gonna video it. Isha, there are obviously many dancers on YouTube, right? Obviously, we all know that it's not just you on YouTube. There's many others from different parts of the world who also dance to Bollywood. So when you started, did you ever feel that it would be difficult to sort of stand out from the rest? Or did you just walk in and say, okay, this is my style, this is how I'm going to do it, and, you know, we'll just see how it goes from there? Did you have any anxieties?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, when I first uploaded, I didn't even think of any of that. I was just just getting a video up. My first, like, Brimradan dance tutorial that I did. The thing is with Bollywood dancing is it's not... So, like, Bharatanatyam, Kathak, they've all got certain rules. They've got their own style. They are a certain style. Bollywood is not really a style as such, if that makes sense. So, if you look at all the dancers on YouTube, everyone's got their own take on Bollywood. So there are people who are trained in more hip hop styles, so their dancing will come across more kind of urban. There's people who are trained in classical, so their style will come out more classical. There's people who do fusion. There's people who are not trained in anything, and they're amazing dancers as well. So I think with YouTube, yes, there are a lot of dancers, and there's a lot of people out there. But the one thing with Bollywood is it's not really a style. It's what you make of it. So I think, yeah, everyone's got their own style, and I guess it's what the viewers, everyone will have their own fan base. And so, yeah.
So, Isha, I just wanted to ask you, it's really, again, just random thought that just popped in my head. What do you think of Salman Khan's dancing?
Oh, my God.
I really want to know, because Isha actually knows about dance. And I just want her opinion in case I feel like I'm a bit judgmental. Okay.
You know, every time someone mentions Salman Khan, you know what move comes into my head?
The baby gubbies percentage.
The bung.
No. So I think it's from, was he in Mujhse Shaadi Karoge? I think it was.
Yeah, it was a tower move
where he's on the beach. do you know which one I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't. What are you talking about?
I'll send you a link later if you don't know what I'm talking about.
But Isha, do not deviate from my question.
What do I think is? He's all right. He's not a Hrithik Roshan.
Yeah. Wow, you're so diplomatic, Isha.
I have to be right.
Yeah, you have to. So many people are listening to
you. Separately after this.
Okay, Isha. You know where to find me.
Yeah. I just hope that with this entire interview, we've not made Isha feel like, you know, she's sitting on the hot seat and we're asking her too many questions.
No. I'm really enjoying this. It's fine.
So okay. To make things easy for you, I think we've come to our last question. Okay, Isha?
Yeah.
Now, imagine there's this little girl who wants to become you when she grows up. And it doesn't necessarily have to do with just dance. If it's like painting or writing, she wants to become someone like you. What advice would you give to someone like her to, you know, follow her passion and become you?
I definitely say as a child, you need to obviously work hard. Focus on your studies, and that's all very important. And it's good to have extracurricular activities, which is what I had growing up.
Yep.
And also, like, when it comes to exams and all of that, like, it will be difficult to balance things out, like carry on with dancing, carry on with exams, or art or whatever they're doing. But the important thing is to just try and find a balance between both, and both are equally important. And when you're older and you're old enough to make a decision with what direction you want to go, at least you've kind of had them both. Because coming from our Asian background as well, education is very, very important, and a career in the arts is still frowned upon, unfortunately.
So, Isha, now that you mentioned that, you mentioned that most Asian families and parents, they would want their kids to be doctors, accountants, engineers. So when you say to them, you know, I want to be a dancer, obviously it won't be as easy to do that. So when you came into this a bit later, you came into this as a married woman and you started dancing as a part-time thing, but were your parents supportive about it from day one?
So my parents have always been very supportive of dance, but as a hobby. Which is why, and to be honest, like, they've been very encouraging with dance as a hobby, and they've always supported me and everything. But they've always said, you can do whatever you want with dance, but you need to have a solid education background. And they've always emphasized the importance of education to me, which is great, because at least I'm old enough now and I've got both options. I've got my chartered accountancy qualification and I've maintained my dance on the side. So now it's up to me really to make the decision as an adult as to how I want to balance them both, right?
But this is exactly why I love the fact that we got to interview you, because there are so many kids growing up in India, so many millennials out there who think that it has to be black and white.
No,
I can only follow a passion, or I can only take up an engineering job. But you're clearly doing both, and you're doing it well.
And I think it's possible, and it's difficult, but I think you just need to focus on what you want to do. And yes, time management is very important. So there's one thing I know, I've had a couple of younger girls email me and they're like, oh, my mum's told me to stop dancing because I've got exams and I want to carry on, and what can I do? So what I do tell them is, say you're going to commit to like 3 hours of revision, and as a treat you're going to have an hour of dance class or an hour of choreography. And that's what I used to do as well. Like, I used to I was a big geek as a child as well, so I used to basically make I used to make like tally charts of how many hours we used to study.
Wow.
I was a bit of a loser. So what I'd do is I'd be like, okay, once I've done 2 hours or whatever, like an hour, I can't even remember now, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to have a break. And my break was basically putting on some Bollywood music and choreographing something. And it's fine. Like, even like that half an hour that I got to do during my like revision session the day or whatever, it's still keeping me going, it's still keeping the creativity going. So the important thing is not to just give up and just be like, okay, I just need to study now. Yes, you need to study, yes, you need to pass your exams and do well, it's all very important, but carry on with your passion, and there will be people out there judging you, telling you, what are you doing, you're wasting your time. And
did you try to put an Indian accent there?
Yes,
what are you doing, what are you doing? But you know, at least in your case you can just clearly tell them, hey, this is my hobby, so you can't judge.
Exactly. Yeah. And even if they do, it doesn't matter, you're doing it for yourself.
Yeah. Isha, I think that we were very, very privileged to grow up in a place like Gibraltar. I mean, I wasn't into dance, but I was into all the other stuff, like my sports and rowing and running. And yes, I had to study as well, but I also had that on the side. But it was mainly not just because it was my hobby. Of course, it was my hobby and passion to pursue sports, but it was also very easily accessible. And I think we were very lucky to have that. Now, obviously, there are a lot of kids, I know that in London, especially, if you want to pursue hobbies, they're expensive. Most of the time, they're far away. You have to travel, you have to commute. So I would also just like to add to what you said, Isha, and that is that if you have something close by, don't just let it go. Like, don't take it for granted, because it's not easy to find something that's so close by that you can actually pursue. So if there are any young kids out there and you have a dance class which is just down the road, or you have a basketball court just across the in your neighborhood, use it, you know.
Take advantage of it.
And even like at university, that's the other thing. Like, university gives you so many opportunities to join so many clubs and learn so many new things. And that's probably one of the regrets I have. I don't feel like I made the most out of, I did dance, but I feel like I would have loved to do like a sport or something else, and I didn't make the most of it whilst at university. And I definitely, definitely recommend to university students, that is your chance to learn something new, whatever it is, just learn something new. Like you said, whatever opportunities you've got around you, definitely make the most of them.
It's a very, very positive way to end the show, Isha.
Yeah, it's been such a fun and inspiring chat.
I still have one more question.
Oh my God.
I just said this is
the last question and you still have another question to ask.
No, but this is not a serious one. It's a jokey one.
Okay.
So Isha, I noted a couple of months, I can't remember when, and I can't remember which dance it was, but it was a dance, it was a song which is sung by Mika Singh. And I think he retweeted your dance, or am I right?
Oh, yeah.
So how did you feel about that?
Oh my God, I was really excited. Yeah,
really?
I was like, oh my God.
I was excited for you.
thank you.
Which song was it by Mika Singh?
Malamal. I think that's how you say it.
I would sing it for you.
Ankita, I would sing it for you, but just before we spoke to Isha, you told me to stop singing, so I'll sing it to you later.
If you had a good singing voice, maybe.
Isha, you know what I was singing to her? Because I was thinking about you. You just released your dance on Zalima, right? The cover?
So
I was just humming it, and Ankita was like, can you shut up?
Because I was literally just finding questions to ask you, and she was singing. I said,
no, it's okay, you keep going. Like I said, there will be people judging you. It doesn't matter. If you want to sing, you sing.
Thank you.
In your pink lehenga.
Wow.
So this was a very, very inspirational, positive, happy, happy chat. And especially for little girls and boys out there who I feel have a tendency to look at things in black and white and say, okay, I can only pursue my passion or my job. I think this is so great for them to listen to this episode and see how you're doing both. And yeah. Thank you so much for taking your time to talk to us.
No, thank you for having me on the show.
And
it's been really fun.
It's quite funny how we haven't spoken in a long time, but the podcast was an excuse to catch up. So
I know it's been ages, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's long been a time. Long time. But we're very glad that you came on, and thank you for your time. So for all our listeners, we will have all of Isha's social media channels on our show notes, and you can always follow her and find her on YouTube as well. So until next week, I'm Meenal.
And I'm Ankita.
Isha, say I'm Isha.
I'm Isha.
And Ankita and I are the Desi Outsiders.
Okay, we're going to have to redo that, but we can do that after we cut the call. That's okay.
Thanks a lot, Isha. Have a lovely evening.
Oh, thank you. You
okay,
too.
Take care. Bye.
So that was it for this week. And we hope you enjoyed our little chat with Isha. You can find her on social media at Lasya_Isha. And that is LASYA_ESHA. And hey, don't forget to subscribe to our show. So until next week, I'm Ankita.
And I'm Meenal.
And we are the Desi Outsiders.